I have never met a family who doesn't have a traveling story. These are stories of getting lost and stumbling upon something unexpected, or taking a wrong turn and ending up in a place that's scary or unknown or perhaps even dangerous. And of course, the proverbial family story that has the line, "Naturally, he would not ask for directions." My family has many of these stories. My parents love to travel. They took us across Europe in a Volkswagen camper in the 70s, and out west over the Rockies to Yellowstone later that decade, and up north into the Great Lakes and into Canada in that same camper, sometimes having to push it to get it to start. We had a trusty paper atlas on the dash to show us the right turns to take. I can't say we ever followed a star, but in all our travels, we learned a formative lesson. The roads we choose become part of who we are. I know this intimately as a bicycle rider, because wrong turns add unnecessary miles to weary legs, sometimes leading straight uphill, only to have to painfully retrace the steps, returning to get back on the road we had intended. This is how we know the Magi who visited Jesus were wise men. They stopped to ask directions. We don't actually think about this. We hear this story through the tradition of the church rather than the actual words of Scripture sometimes. And what Scripture tells us is that they went to Jerusalem. They didn't go to Bethlehem. And you're like, wait a minute, they were following a star out of the east. There's an Old Testament scholar named Walter Brueggemann who wrote a piece about this, and he titled it "Off by 9 Miles," because Bethlehem is 9 miles south of Jerusalem. And what this scholar explains is that Bethlehem wasn't a place where a king would be expected to be born. It would be Jerusalem, right? It was famed the world over. It's the place of kings, after all. God's plan for Jerusalem is written all about in the Old Testament. From the prophet Isaiah, we read about this shining city on a hill, Jerusalem. We hear Isaiah say, "Arise, shine, for your light has come," predicting great wealth for this city. "They shall bring gold and frankincense and myrrh, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord," says Isaiah. It makes sense then that the Magi went there first, looking for the king of the Jews. It makes sense also that King Herod was angry about this. As Matthew tells us, he was frightened. Herod must have been enraged. "You're looking for the king? Wait, I am the king here." It makes perfect sense, too, that the people were scared because they knew of Herod's terrible anger and his terror upon the people. It was the Jewish priest summoned by Herod who set things straight. They were able to help. The priest knew the scripture from Micah. They told him, "But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from old." And so they sent the wise men off to Bethlehem. Bethlehem, a humble town, not an urban city like Jerusalem. Bethlehem would never be the center of economic wealth. But little rural Bethlehem, with its dusty roads and rustic scenes, would offer the wise men just what they had been looking for. There's an underlying story, too, in this story that Matthew tells. Because Matthew tells this story in the tradition of his ancestors. That's the tradition of King David and the prophets. Matthew writes about the unjust and unfair political system under Herod, just as Isaiah and Jeremiah had been doing for centuries and centuries. Matthew wants to expose it and critique it. Jerusalem had an economic system that worked only for the rich. As the prophets had done before him, Matthew writes that Israel was not living up to God's expectations. The entire theme of the Old Testament is this message that God wants everyone cared for, especially the poor, especially the orphaned, and especially widows. Matthew knew that in Jerusalem, the poor, who were often widows, had to sleep outside the walls of the city. the powerful, and those with privilege influenced every aspect of life. Matthew was also intent on exposing the awful reign of King Herod. He mentions Herod 10 times in the first 15 verses of this chapter. Matthew tells us of Herod's preoccupation with his kingliness, Herod's control of the people by instilling fear in them, and Herod's murderous ways, which bled into every aspect of life. And then, skillfully, and in my opinion, exquisitely, Matthew turns the narrative to explain there is another way. A way not of power or might or fear or riches, but a way of openness and giving and love. On the wise men's way out of Jerusalem, Matthew writes, there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising. The wise men saw the star rest on that place, and they were overwhelmed with joy. The king had come, not in glory, not in a shining city on a hill. The king had come simply in a small town, like one of us. God chose an unpretentious birthplace, Bethlehem, to reveal God's self to us. God entered the world of shepherds and hard daily life. God chose to reveal his purpose, not to the ruling elite or the powers that be, but to peasants. It is clear that the wise men experienced an epiphany in this journey. A light bulb went on for them. They learned that God comes to us completely vulnerable, wanting our love. They learn that God so wants to be in relationship with us that God became one of us in an ordinary life rather than a kingly one. They learn that God works not by fear, but by the power of drawing us in, if we'll just let him. The wise men's experience of the Christ child gave these men insight they had not had before. They began their journey thinking that God would certainly be revealed in greatness, and ended their trek understanding that God distinctly chose a different path, a lowly birth, a path so common that everyone might know God's love is for all people. The wise men also gained courage, a decisive mind to go their own way. The love they found in Christ conquered all their fear. And in the end, of course, they went on their way home, not afraid of Herod, but in defiance of him. They went home by another way. This is our aha moment. This is our epiphany. Like the wise men, our response to the revealed presence of God changes us. When we let the divine into our lives to be part of who we are, not only can we be free of fear, we can journey on a different path ahead than what makes sense to the powers that be of this world. In his life, Jesus many times said, "Do not be afraid." And he knew, because without fear, we are open to discovering new avenues in life and new ideas. Fear stifles us. Without fear, we can better use our imaginations to explore solutions, rather than just accepting the ways of the world that seem to overpower us. The light bulb that comes on for us in this season of epiphany, which goes forward for the next few weeks, allows us to see things that we've missed and see things anew. Our whole humanness is engaged when we embrace the light of Christ in our lives. Our intuition, we'll make decisions as if we don't have to think about them. Like a horse can find its way back to the barn, we know our home is in Christ. our imaginations. We know sometimes that there's got to be a better way, right? There should be a better way. Matthew tells us there is another way. Our imaginations can be enhanced. Even our emotions can be changed. The way that we respond to things in this world. I used to be a teacher of middle school students and an administrator. So oftentimes kids would come into my office because they're in trouble. They'd gotten in a scuffle. And I would ask them what happened. And they would say, he did it first, or she said this. And what I said to them is, there's going to be people that you're going to meet in this world. They're going to be mean and awful. And are you going to let them tell you who you are to be? We have a choice. We don't have to have those emotions. We can have the emotions of Christ. Amen. Even our intellect grows as we get to know God. It enables us to stand up and speak out for indifference. We can find hope in the humblest of places. We can find joy in the unexpected journeys of our life. What journeys will trust that God is calling us to take, I suppose, is the question for this season. And this season is a good time to explore that question. The wise men could have chosen security. Keep things the way they were, report back to the king, and be on their way home, the familiar way. Instead, they chose to go home by another way. One of my favorite song artists in the 1980s, I was a college kid in the 80s, is James Taylor. I don't know if you know this artist, but he wrote a song on this passage in Matthew in 1988. It's entitled Home by Another Way. I'll read you a few verses that spoke to me from this sign. Those magic men, the magi, some people call them wise or oriental or even kings. Well, anyway, those guys they visited with Jesus, they sure enjoyed their stay. They warned in a dream of King Herod's scheme, they went home by another way. Yes, they went home by another way, home by another way. Maybe you and me can be wise guys too and go home by another way. We can make it another way, safe home, as they used to say. Keep a weather eye to the chart on high and go home by another way. James Taylor encouraging us to keep a weather eye to the chart on high. That is, get a clear head about who you are following. This is not a worldly king or a politician or a boss or any powers that be on this earth that promise you security or prosperity. It is Christ we follow. Christ the teacher who tells us to fear not. Christ the Savior who comes to be with us no matter where we are. Christ our God who considers time with us time well spent and celebrates the journeys with us when we go to the humble places and on the unexpected roads and allow ourselves to be changed in the process, becoming Christ-like. The roads we choose become part of who we are. Maybe we can be wise guys too and go home by another way. Amen.